Hey everybody, and welcome back to Caffeinated and Opinionated with Hill Spills. If you hear a very loud rumbling noise in the background, I do have a fan on because it's a little toasty in here today. With that being said, today is going to be an extra spooky, super fun podcast because I know it's September, but spooky season is upon us. It is over halfway through the month of September, going on to October, and spooky season starts in like August anyway. Got a couple topics I would like to talk about today, give my opinion on. First one I'm going to go ahead and start with is Halloween and why Halloween is the best holiday, at least in my personal opinion. I would say that Halloween is the best holiday because there's no pressure to buy gifts for anybody. There's no pressure to cook huge meals like you would with Thanksgiving, the presents like you would with Christmas. You kind of get to dress up and be weird, like extra weird for like a whole night of the year. And can put whatever you want on your face, dress up however you want, and just kind of let loose. Halloween offers, at least the time of year, you know, haunted attractions, it offers corn mazes, things of that nature, carving pumpkins, Halloween parties are lit. I don't think that there is a better holiday than Halloween. Hey, New Year's. New Year's, you're celebrating the fact that a new year is here. You're going to make some crappy promise to yourself that you're not going to be able to keep for more than the first couple of weeks of the new year. And then you're just going to go right back to being the way you were after you get completely shit-faced for a night and count down till the ball magically drops in Times Square. That's 100% what New Year's is. Whatever. Valentine's Day is not the real holiday. The real holiday is February 15th when you get discounted Valentine's candy. I'm just saying. February 15th is where it's at because, like I said, you can stock up on all that real good leftover candy. St. Patrick's Day, getting drunk and pretending to embrace your Irish heritage, I guess. April Fool's Day, I feel like is mostly for children. And then we have May as Mother's Day, which, I mean, I have nothing wrong with Mother's Day. Obviously I love my mom, but Mother's Day is significantly more difficult now that she has moved about 6 hours away. So she's not just a couple miles down the road anymore. So Mother's Day, there's nothing wrong with Mother's Day. It's just, you know, it sucks now. Father's Day, once again, my stepdad and my mom both live about 6 hours away. So celebrating Father's Day is a little out of the question other than, once again, sending him a message that says Happy Father's Day. July, 4th of July. We also missed Memorial Day in May. Cooking out and food and stuff. 4th of July, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day are all basically the same holiday, just spread out different through the year. But same concept. One marks the beginning of summer, one marks the end of summer, one marks about the middle of summer. You grill out, you do the swimming thing, whether it's the open of the pool, the end of the pool. There's fireworks sometimes, just depends on which one it is. But those three holidays are relatively the same for me. August has no holidays. It marks the brats going back to school. Labor Day, once again, no different than Memorial Day or 4th of July. And then we have Halloween, which obviously, personally, is my favorite. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is definitely a strong second to Halloween because you get to eat. And fat kids like to eat, so Thanksgiving's definitely top tier, right? And Christmas is my least favorite. As a December baby, I'm never going to be fond of Christmas. I mean, decorations are nice, but the pressures to buy gifts for people, especially people you don't even like, I guess I won't have to worry about that so much this year because of how things have gone, so I won't have to celebrate Christmas with certain individuals this year and pretend that I like them. So I've got that going for me. But yeah, as a December 19th baby, I absolutely despise Christmas. If you know me, you know that one thing that is one of my biggest pet peeves is when people give me birthday gifts that are wrapped in Christmas paper. I'd rather them just not be wrapped. I'd rather you tie it up into a Walmart bag, a Dollar Tree bag. I'd rather you wrap it in newspaper. I would rather you wrap it in notebook paper. The options are unlimited, with the exception of Christmas paper, because my birthday and Christmas are clearly two separate things. And that's top tier pet peeve for personal things. But yeah, I think Halloween offers a lot of fun, and I feel like Halloween is also very nostalgic, which I think is why I like it. I don't know why I feel like some of the best Halloween movies came out when I was either before I was born, that I watched when I was growing up, that were like a decade or a couple decades old. It's weird to think about that the first Halloween movie was not even 20 years old when I was born. I remember the first scary movie that I watched, like the first real slasher movie, was Nightmare on Elm Street. So that was the one that got me into watching slasher and scary movies. And then I obviously became a much bigger fan of Michael Myers and the whole Halloween franchise itself, which is where we're going with this next opinion. As someone whose absolute favorite film franchise slasher scary movie is Michael Myers and Halloween, I would like to give my opinion on Halloween 3. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Now, I would say that my opinions on the Halloween movies are very different than a lot of people's. I will say that my favorite Halloween movies are the original six. And that does include Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. And I know that it should not necessarily be part of the series. However, what people don't understand is it started with Michael Myers, and then they were going to do the little anthology, and they were going to do Season of the Witch, but Michael was so popular that they brought him back for 4, 5, and 6. Now, people are like, Halloween 3 sucks, it's not even part of Michael Myers. It's not part of that storyline. It's awful. But if you pull that movie away from the fact that it's not merged with the Michael Myers films, with the exception of a film poster showing Michael's face from the original first movie, the 1978 movie, if you take the fact that that movie is something completely separate, it's actually a good movie for when it was made. And I'm not entirely sure what year Halloween 3 was right off. Because I want to say, I'm feeling it's 1982-ish, but I could be completely wrong. Because I think 78 was the original, and then 81 was the second movie, but I could be totally wrong on that. I know 70 is the original, but I don't know the second one. So Halloween 3 is definitely a 1980s movie, which for the time, I feel like it was well shot. But the storyline is, if you've never seen Halloween 3 and you have no opinion, you don't know anything about it because it's not a Michael Myers movie, you didn't watch it. Halloween 3, the plot of it is that the children are putting on these masks, and when they watch this hypnotizing video or whatever, it causes the mask to morph to their skin, and they basically become that creature, I guess. Now, when I first watched it when I was much younger, I had the same opinion. Oh my God, this movie sucks. I hate it. It's awful. Well, within the last couple years, I acquired this movie because my original Halloween collection is one movie shy of being complete. I have Halloween 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I do not have 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, which is the one that, not Paul Rudd. I was, that is Paul Rudd's breakout movie, because that did come right before Clueless. That movie is very difficult to find, and it's very expensive when you do find it, even for a used copy. I imagine that Paul Rudd probably has something to do with that, and I mean that he's in it, not him personally. I just mean I feel like that's why it's probably such a high demand. Or not high demand, but high enough demand to cause the price to be in the $24 for a used DVD. I'm not saying that that's ridiculous or outrageous. I just think for a used DVD, that $24 is a little bit pricey for me. And that's off Amazon. And I just, because I don't know that somebody hasn't scratched it or touched it, and it's, you know, like I want to make sure it's good quality. I'd rather have an unopened one. But nonetheless, I'm waiting for Walmart to put that one out in the seasonal Halloween movies. That would be great. But Halloween 3, once again, on its own separately, is actually a very good movie. Once again, it has absolutely nothing to do with the plot of any of the Michael Myers movies. It's not supposed to. Once again, there is an Easter egg where you do see a poster from the first movie in there, but it has absolutely nothing to do with Michael. And if you're able to pull that movie separately and watch it on as a standalone movie, and you give it a chance, it actually is really good. And I think people solely hate on it because it is considered technically part of the Halloween franchise, just not a Michael Myers movie. And I'm part of many Michael Myers groups and Halloween groups on Facebook where Halloween 3 is regularly discussed. And it always blows my mind when people are like, this movie sucks, and they don't understand that this movie was not part of the Michael Myers storyline. But once again, separately, individually, on its own, it's actually really good. I'm not saying it's like top tier, world's greatest movie, but I mean, I think that it has a fighting chance standing on its own. So with that in can you know with that in mind, I feel like if you've not seen Halloween 3, or if you've seen Halloween 3 and you have a negative opinion on it, I would give it a second watch. I would most definitely give it an additional watch. You're not going to waste a whole lot of your time by watching it just one more time, but if you go into that movie with a completely different mindset, it might help you see that the movie isn't really that shitty. Like I said, I like it as a standalone film, recognizing that it is not part of the Michael Myers part of the franchise. But you can't, I mean, we can't help it. Michael and Laurie, such a great duo. Granted, Laurie doesn't make it to the fourth movie. It is based around her daughter. And then it gets into like the Rose Thorn cult and things, kind of weird, little out there. It's fine. I do most definitely like Halloween 4 and 5. 6 is okay. Paul Rudd's all right. It's different though. Because it gets a little bit more into the, and it's also Dr. Loomis's last movie. I cannot think of that man's name right this very. Oh, Donald Pleasant. Donald Pleasance, right? He's an amazing actor. I love him as Dr. Loomis. So with that also being his last movie, it's kind of sad to watch that. Or his last Halloween movie. I don't know if he was in any other movies after that, but it is sad to see that that is his last movie with the franchise. But that being said, I honestly, Halloween 3 being separated from the Halloween franchise, I think is a better standalone movie than Halloween 6 within the actual franchise. Personal opinion, don't come for me. So now that I've given my opinion on Halloween 3, because once again, Michael Myers and the Halloween franchise is absolutely my all-time top-tier favorite. If you haven't seen my arm, my right arm, you may not quite understand the sheer obsession that's there. If you have seen my right arm and my half sleeve, then you totally understand my obsession with Halloween. As the centerpiece for my half sleeve is the cover art for the original Halloween 1978 movie cover. So that's the centerpiece. But moving on, sticking with our spooky season theme, I remember a second podcast I think I did, yeah, we talked about energies and feeling vibes. And with that, I didn't want to get too into it because what I wanted to cover today, or at that time, at a much later time, was ghosts and paranormal entities and how I feel on if they're real or not. And ghosts and paranormal entities are just energies as well, which is why I didn't want to get too into this, and I wanted to talk about it completely separately. So I may bring up some things from the Vibes and Energies podcast as well. However, this is going to be mostly focused on ghosts and paranormal entities, but also how energies can play into that as well. Sorry. Had a That was fun. Had a power outage for just a moment. Maybe. Okay. Power's just going crazy here, ladies and gents. Oddly enough, I think the power flickers pretty rampantly here, actually, at home. Well, third time's the charm, ladies and gents. Fourth time's the charm, ladies and gents. Holy moly. That's four times power's gone out. Interesting. Interesting. I guess. Okay, so this is really weird. And I say this because I bring up talking about ghosts and paranormal entities. And that's when, and I've not done anything different with the power. I've not plugged anything else in. I've not turned anything else on. But I start to talk about ghosts and paranormal entities, and my power starts to flicker. And I'm only in my bedroom, so I'm not seeing if there's power flickering in any of the other apartment units or any other room in the house. But I say that's weird because the other day my sister called me and freaked out because she said she had a paranormal experience at the house and she saged it. So that's why I was kind of taken aback for a second and kind of at a loss for words. Anyway, and normally, my power does flicker here and there occasionally. And that's why I don't set like the time on my microwave or anything like that, is because every day I come home and it's usually just back to blank, because it'll flicker for like a second here and there, like every day. I don't know. And it's done that at the apartment I was at next door as well as this one. So I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, back to ghosts and paranormal entities. Let's see if I can get through this without pissing off the spirit or energy that apparently is hanging out in the apartment today. So just based on that sentence, I'm gonna guess that you would be able to tell that my stance on ghosts and paranormal entities are that they're real. I 100% believe that ghosts and paranormal entities are 100% real. And it's because I have had some experiences that I cannot explain away. I've had some very, even with the energy things and the way I feel. So I'm going to give a little bit of evidence as to why I believe that ghosts and paranormal entities are 100% real. So when I was a child, all the time I stayed at my mamma and papa's house. We're talking an old farmhouse, at least 100 years old. At least, well, okay, I can't say that anybody had passed at that time. At least my mamma has passed in that house, but this was prior to her passing anyway. But my papa has felt things while there. My uncle has seen things while there. I, on the other hand, had the delight of hearing things. So my grandparents slept separately. My mama slept downstairs in her bedroom, and it was because she snored so bad and my papa could not sleep through her snoring. And I get it because it runs in the family. Like it's truly a thing. So like at some point in my life, I will be the snorer, unfortunately, I imagine. Anyway, my mama snored really bad, so, and I would sleep in the bed with her. So there would be times I would have to try and fall asleep before her. And then it got to the point where I just ended up sleeping upstairs, with my, not in the bed with my papa, but like in the spare bedroom. So my mama's bedroom, you go up the stairs, and when you go upstairs, there's this big open area. That's what my papa slept in. And then there was another bedroom off the side of that. I would sleep in that extra bedroom. My mama used it for her closet. So what separated these two was the stairs. Like I said, he just could not deal with her snoring. Love her heart. So my papa, there was actually a time when I didn't sleep with either of them. I slept on the couch. Now, the stairs that they had were enclosed in like this hallway, right? And there's this wall, and on the other side of this wall is like their living room. And there was a couch, and I slept on that couch. The back of the couch was against the wall where the stairs are. I swear to God, one night I was not asleep. I had woken up and I heard what sounded like someone running up and down the stairs. I'm talking about my grandparents who are, older and more feeble. My mama would have been in her like late 50s, and my papa would have been in like his 70s probably. early 70s. There's no way that these two individuals are running up and down their stairs. There's absolutely no possible way. Okay, so that's something that I've heard while I was there, which I know you're sitting here saying, well, that's real dumb. They didn't have any indoor animals. They had no indoor dogs, no indoor cats, so it wasn't an animal. Nobody fell. But that's just my experience that was in that house. That's not the only one that I've had, and that's not the only thing that's made me think of ghosts and paranormal entities being real. But going forward, my papa, same house, he said that I guess he would sleep in, his underwear, whatever. And he was sleeping upstairs and he felt someone get in the bed with him. Well, he thought it was my mamaw who came upstairs to get in the bed with him for whatever reason. And he said he felt her like against his back on his skin. And he reaches back there to touch her and whatnot and said, no one's there. So he said that he said, well, whoever you are, I'm going back to bed. You have a great night. So that's an experience that my papa has had in that house. But I would say the one paranormal encounter I've had that really sealed the deal for me was as a child. My mamaw passed away. I had just turned 8 years old. So I turned 8, and then within 2 weeks, my mamaw passed away. I was real young. I was real into like those ghost hunting shows and shit like that. I thought that was super cool. Well, I knew that they had EVPs where they recorded and you could hear the ghosts. Well, I'm like 9, 10 years old. I don't have a recorder. We're talking early 2000s, whatever. So what I was able to do is I took a piece of paper, I hand wrote a note to my mamaw, stuck it in her bedroom where she passed away under her pillow. And I actually did receive a written response, oddly enough. Now, this wasn't, nobody in my family knew about this note. It was really well hidden under her bed, and nobody went in there because there was no reason to. We preserved it with her things, and I had the ability to sleep in there, but I felt very uncomfortable in that room. Not necessarily just because she passed. It just, I always felt a very dark presence in her bedroom, even when she was still alive. I always felt a dark presence. Weirdly enough, I'm the type of person that has felt weird vibes from like pictures, or paintings. There was a picture of my papa's dad that was in her room, and it just made me feel off. And then it's weird because when my papa moved houses, the picture the room that picture ended up being in, I also didn't like that room either. It gave me weird vibes. So I've gotten that note written back. That's one thing that I have definitely encountered. A lot of what I've encountered has just been negative feelings and energies. Like you just out of nowhere, you just feel uncomfortable and there's nobody around, but it kind of makes you feel like you're being watched. Or like some sort of I don't know, some sort of malicious presence is there and wants to harm you or hurt you. And this is coming from somebody who had their first episode of sleep paralysis within the last year, year and a half. I have never been so scared in the entirety of my life. I could not move, I could not talk. I thought somebody was breaking into my apartment and I could not move to say anything and try to get help. I was laying on my back in the bed and I tried to scream and my voice was one of those like you've lost your voice and you're trying to talk. So it sounds something like this. That's how it, well, it wasn't even that good, but it was very hard for me to articulate what I was attempting to say, and it took a minute before I was able to finally like come to and realize that I was fine. I'm also someone who believes that there are poltergeists that are summoned by negative energies and depressions. There have been times where I've been in a very, very bad place and felt negative energies in certain areas. And it's like, it's, I don't know, that negativity causes just kind of like builds and builds and feeds and feeds, and it manifests itself into something kind of paranormal or supernatural, or something's able to feed off of it. And causes it to make you feel that dread and overwhelm and just icky feeling. It's not a good feeling. It's really not. But I 100% do believe that ghosts and paranormal entities are real. I do believe that these are just nothing but energies. And that I feel like those weird energies and feelings that we feel, I 100% feel that these guys are part of that, or that we can feel them and see them and sense them. It may sound weird, it may sound odd, but if you're somebody, let me just put it to you this way. I find it incredibly hilarious that the people that supposedly don't believe in ghosts or paranormal entities are always the ones that are absolutely the most terrified of a Ouija board. I swear, I feel like people that believe in ghosts and paranormal entities aren't afraid of Ouija boards. We know how to respect them and how to properly say goodbye and make sure that nothing is released. I feel like those that don't believe are the most terrified of them. And it's like, if you don't believe that these things are real, then why are you so terrified of a Ouija board? Right? I just want to know. Because you agree with me, ghosts and paranormal entities are real. That's just my conclusion on that. But I'm gonna go ahead, and this is all I've got for today. I wanted to, like I said, have a good little spooky season kind of episode. I feel like next week I might be able to also drop a maybe a couple of spooky things and how I feel about some other spooky things that we can talk about. Maybe just leading up to Halloween, it might be opinion on solely spooky things. So if that gets a little obnoxious for you, I'm gonna go ahead and apologize, but I'm not really sorry. I love spooky season. It's the most wonderful time of the year. So with that being said, everybody, have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Be safe and have a great week. I will talk to you guys next Sunday, and enjoy your spooky season.